Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Drama Digest. My name is Amy Young, and this is episode 3. Today, we are going to talk about episode 2 of season 11 of Vanderpump Rules. I am still trying to figure out what the season is going to be because we're only 3 months after Tom and Ariana's like really explosive breakup, and I'm not really sure how the season is going to play out. Some seasons are like redemption seasons, some seasons are kind of revenge seasons. And while Tom Sandoval is trying to atone for his mistakes, I'm not sure that he's gonna be successful. So we'll just have to see. So we start off at Tom and Ariana's house for this episode, and Ariana's room looks like a bomb went off. She has more clothes than I have ever owned in my entire life collectively, and I mean that in all sincerity. Tom's suitcases are all over the hall, and he kind of slinks out of his room like he's scared to run into Ariana. And rightfully so. I mean, like I said, this is pretty recently after their breakup or the huge fight that happened. So I think he's probably afraid of running into her in the house. And then he goes downstairs to talk to Anne, his assistant, who, as a side note, I was watching some TikToks about her and she has since quit this job, but she was super team Ariana before she quit. She went and saw her live on Dancing with the Stars. Like, there's selfies of them together on her Instagram. Like, so I just think it's kind of funny that she was working for Tom, but she had to have strongly disliked him at the very least. And then Tom tells us, "I just got back from New Zealand where I cried every day to try to get out of it. Over the past months, I found myself on the receiving end of more hate than I've ever gotten in my life." And we get screen flashes to messages like, "Sandoval smells like cheap cologne, wet dog, and vodka," calling him a narcissist, a liar, trash. And in his diary session, he's wearing what looks like a vintage women's Chanel blazer. And he's trying to play off going to this boot camp experience. Like, he's trying to punish himself, hence through pain. Like, first of all, LOL, Joey said hence kind of thing. But I think he was really just trying to capitalize on his fame the way Ariana was, the way that Schwartz tried to with, you know, Stars on Mars, which he got kicked off of pretty quickly. So then Tom tells Anne that Jason is coming by to work out, says he's going to see Schwartz, and Anne asks if they're okay, and he lies and says that they are. They absolutely are not, which he tells us in his next confessional. He says that Schwartz recently went on Jax's podcast and talked shit about me, which this is the problem with Sandoval, right? There's no real genuine remorse here. He says that like he's the victim in all of this, which is why everyone hates him more and will continue to hate him. It's not that what you did was more horrible than what anyone else's, you know, than anyone else's cheating scandals, right? I mean, it is a little bit worse because it was Ariana's friend, but it's the genuine lack of remorse that is so problematic. And, you know, Schwartz did go on Jax's podcast and say that Sandoval was living out his rock star dreams, which he is, by the way. He has been going all over the US and, you know, lip syncing his little heart out while they play a backup track that's been cleaned up, and paying his whole band to do this, which is why he doesn't have any money for the house. But Sandoval says that he feels betrayed by his friend. So we'll see how that goes. Schwartz is such a pushover. I don't know that he's gonna stand up for himself too much. And then Tom tells Anne that tomorrow is his birthday, which is presumably his 14th, 29th birthday or whatever. And he wants to have people over, which Anne knows is not going to go over well with Ariana. And he says, "Well, Ariana's like obviously invited to come if she wants." I can't believe there are that many people that would want to attend his party that he could even put together a party. And second of all, this is still his delusion. Like, why would she ever come to your birthday party? And Anne says, "I think she'll be busy." Third, I feel like shared space rules are in play here, right? If you've ever lived in a house where there are common spaces, if you want to use the common space for a gathering, you have to get the okay from the other people living in your domicile. And if not, tough, you can't do it. And I think that those rules apply. And then Tom says he'll put Ariana up at a hotel, which I'm sorry. Ariana's just not going to go for this. It just isn't. And the producer asked Tom what it's like living with your ex, and they both say it sucks. They like cut to two confessionals. But then Ariana says that Tom is opening her mail, which by the way is illegal. It's a federal crime. And put her license plates on her car, which is just weird. Like he's doing these little things for her, like it's gonna make up for the horrible betrayal and lying. And I just, no, stop it. So then Ariana tells us that Tom got this white noise machine for the hallway. And Tom says it's because Ariana and her friends could hear him when he was talking about their situation, which is probably because Tom speaks at a decibel that could be heard over an atomic bomb. Could you have maybe, I don't know, lowered your voice, talked about it in your car, gone to a restaurant? Like, no, he's got to get this white noise machine that's just like constantly in the background. So poor Anne, poor put upon Anne, has to tell Ariana about Tom wanting the party and wanting to get her a hotel. And Ariana says that she thinks it's very disrespectful and inappropriate, and he can have the party elsewhere. Which is valid because not only does he want to have a party in a shared space, but it's one day's notice. One. Like, come on, dude. And then Ariana says, if there are people here making noise, I will call the cops, which I died. And poor Anne. But you know, Ariana goes on to describe what Tom's parties are usually like. And she says they're a loud, disgusting mess. They go until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, I would say no too. And there are noise ordinances in the Valley. I don't know if they apply in like the Hollywood Hills, but there are definitely, you know, laws that say that you have to be quiet after a certain time of night. And I assume that this is a weeknight. I'm not sure that there's anyone out there that would like give up their weekend tonight to come and celebrate Tom's birthday. And Anne says, I don't know if you got my text, but he's having Jason come here. And Ariana says, okay, I'll just keep existing like I normally do in my own house. Like she's like, I'm gonna live here and he can live here too, but he can't screw everything up while he's doing it. Then we go over to Villa Rosa and we see Lisa getting ready for the closing party at Pump, which is sad because Pump has been open for the entirety, you know, we've seen its opening and now it's closing. We saw, you know, Lisa and Ken put together this place, and she said that, you know, the rent's going up in West Hollywood. Ken wants to retire, which Ken isn't retired. I feel like Ken's brain is just the white noise machine that Tom just bought. Like, just. And Lisa says, if we take it on for another 10 years, Ken will be stomping the pavement of West Hollywood in his 80s. And she says she'll be in her 40s. Hilarious. James and Allie are walking the path in Burbank. This path is really lovely. It goes through like the center of the residential area of Burbank, and it's really pretty. And they're talking about getting a dog, which I thought he had Graham in the last episode. So I'm a little confused about the timeline here, or maybe I just thought there was a dog and there wasn't. And James says that Lisa asked him about Graham, and James apparently thinks Graham is with Raquel at the treatment facility. This just proves that James like doesn't understand how rehab, even if it's mental health rehab, works. So then we go back to Sandoval and Ariana's house, and Sandoval says he's lost all of his long-term friends and Jason is stuck around. And then we find out that Jason is the manager of the band. Okay, he is a paid friend. That is an employee. But you have to give Jason props for having to listen to Tom sing over and over again and, you know, promote him as a singer. Maybe he's the one that, you know, put together the tracks that Tom pretends to sing to. I don't know. And Tom claims that he's still in love with Raquel and wants to give their relationship a real chance. There's just no fucking way. And I don't even believe this. I don't even believe that he wants to do it. I think that he's just trying to make himself look better. I think that everything is optics with this man. And then we flash back to the scene where Anne tells Tom that it's a no for the party. And Tom is like, really? Like, he's actually really surprised. And Jason is trying to poke the bear, and he's like, is she allowed to tell you that? She has people here all the time. You should have people here. Like, what is she even gonna do? And now I understand why Tom loves this guy, because he's Tom's yes man. And Anne cuts in and says, I'm sorry, Ariana did mention that she may have to call the police, so might not be the best idea. And Tom says, I know Ariana thinks what I did makes me a criminal, but I doubt the police are going to agree with that. Okay, it's the noise ordinance in Valley Village. Like, so Tom wants to compromise and have people out by midnight. Sure, you will. And then Tom tells Anne to just tell Ariana that he's having people over and not ask her. But Anne has already sent the message because she's, you know, on Ariana's side, and she hates you. Ariana and Lala meet, and Ariana tells Lala about the party and how she's not going to leave and she's not having it. And this is where we see more seeds of Lala turning on Ariana, because she's siding with Sandoval here. She says he's allowed to have a party at his house. And Ariana says, that's true, but I'm allowed to call the cops for a noise complaint. But then Ariana gets the text from Anne about the midnight thing, and she's cool about it. And then Lala just asks her, like, wouldn't it be easier to move out? And Ariana says, yeah, when the house sells, I'm not going to allow him to assert his dominance, be louder, be more obnoxious, and make me uncomfortable, and let him do whatever. Stand your ground, girl. Again, this is only 3 months after this whole thing blew up her life, so she's still in the thick of her feelings, and this all makes perfect sense. And, you know, Lala makes a valid argument that Tom is getting off on making Ariana uncomfortable. And Tom still wants to buy Ariana the house, but he's offering her less than market value. Like, those houses go up in value so much year after year. It's insane the amount of equity that you build just by being in a house for a couple of years. I bought my house, and by the time I sold it, it was worth 1.5 times what I bought it for, if that gives you any indication. And I only lived there for 6 years. And she doesn't want to make his life easy because he broke the home. He doesn't get to do that and then keep the home. And I guess Ariana and Dan have been staying elsewhere when he comes to town. And she says he's the first person that she's ever really considered having a family with, which he's a rebound. I don't know that we have kids with a rebound. And Ariana kind of blames her not wanting kids on Tom, which is a little unfair, I have to say. Like, she came into that relationship saying that she didn't want kids. She was adamant about it. So I really don't think you can blame it on not being able to see him as a father. So not being able to see that kind of future for yourself. I understand where she's coming from, but I think that we have to look back at history and say, no, like, you felt this way for a long time. So then we go to the closing of Pump. Lisa looks like she's going to high tea. Ken looks like he's going to a Miami Vice party. And we get a flash scene in black and white over the years of Pump. Lala and Sheena arrive. There are people at this party in jeans and t-shirts, and these two look like they're going to the Grammys, okay? And for some reason, Schwartz is bartending and not having a total panic attack / meltdown. And Schwartz and Lisa talk about Schwartz and Sandy's, and Schwartz and Sandy's partners don't want to work with them anymore. Sandoval was asked to step away from the business, and the partners told him point blank, if he comes in, they'll kick him out. Which he is dangerous for that place, right? Like, he was fucking poison to that place for a good stretch of time. I don't know what it's like now. I think that it's doing better. But for a while, people were just attacking that restaurant online in favor of Ariana. And Schwartz thought that Sandoval would be more proactive with his time off and try to build some integrity instead of, you know, screwing around with his band, which I don't know what about Sandoval gives you that impression. Like, you guys spent months and months just like floating around and doing mushrooms and buying couches, trying to concept for this place instead of like getting from point A to point B as quickly as you could to get that place open. And Lisa says, I think it's a little unfair for Schwartz to blame Sandoval for the demise of their business. Is it, Lisa? She justifies this by saying that Tom wasn't thinking about the business when he was screwing Raquel, but I just think it's that Lisa will always take up for the men on the show because that's kind of her MO. Then we go over to Sheena and Brock, and someone did like a metal version of Good as Gold, but I'm begging you guys, can we let the song die, please? It can't come back. And Brock says he's feeling very American because it's his first time in a music studio. I apologize for the accent. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that like 90% of Americans haven't been in a music studio. It's not an American thing. It is a privileged reality TV star thing in this case. And apparently Sheena and Ariana and Katie have been DJing an emo night. So you just listen to emo music and be sad, I guess. And this led Sheena to ask the 27s, this band, to do Good as Gold as an emo cover. So now Sheena is back in the recording studio, which is a place I can safely say a lot of us never wanted to see her again. And she doesn't understand what emo is because she's saying the lyrics exactly as she did on the pop track and then just screams like a Muppet at the end. And then Sheena tells us that she got a lot of negativity from her last song slash video. And they flash us back to the One More Time video, that horrible, horrible video with Brett pretending to fuck her for a full 3 minutes. And like, that's the whole video because she did it to try to like pee all over him so he couldn't date anyone else. So she quote unquote quit the business. And in this interview, she actually says, "I'm not the best singer." Okay, so why are you singing? Please stop or do it as a hobby. You're allowed to have hobbies. But now she's going on a reunion tour. So great. And then things get kind of serious and Sheena has a very frank discussion about having postpartum OCD and how she hasn't been able to leave Summer Moon with anyone, which I know enough people who have had postpartum depression to know that it totally screws up your brain chemistry for at least a little while. And I'm glad that she's bringing some visibility to it. But she and Brock are finally going to leave Summer Moon with a nanny. So then the Toms meet up and we find out that Sandoval is not drinking, which, okay, if I didn't know that as soon as the show stopped filming, he immediately started drinking again, I would say good for him. But this was like clearly just for the show, just like a publicity stunt. But he says that he got sober because Raquel was in a facility and wouldn't be able to drink so they could do it together. And Schwartz just makes everything worse for everyone because he tells Sandoval that he feels like he's become a mythological creature, like a cryptid. Please don't feed this man's ego any more than it already has been, okay? But they're talking about the competition show and Schwartz is like, "Did you cry?" And Sandoval's like, "Fuck yeah." Okay, guys. And Schwartz says he's glad Sandoval had a good time filming, but he had to deal with the fallout at the bar. And Sandoval gives the classic, "I feel bad, but," you know, his non-apology. He can't apologize. All of his apologies come with a qualifier at the end, this but. So you can't really take any of his apologies as actual apologies. And Sandoval says that he had to do the show because he didn't have any money because Ariana hadn't paid any of the bills in 8 months. Or you were paying like a 16-piece band and a manager and a bunch of crew guys to pretend that you were a rock star and follow you around California for who knows how long. So I'm not buying that one tiny little bit. And also, you get paid at least $300,000 a year. So where the fuck is all your money going other than to the band, right? Tom says he's been paying all the bills and Ariana won't pay him back, which is a little different than not paying any of the bills. And Sandoval says his feelings are hurt because Schwartz went on podcast and said he's, you know, turning to live his rock star dreams. And Schwartz says, "If I had been in your situation, you know, asked to step away, I would have been reaching out and pitching ideas." Seriously? No, you wouldn't. You're a slug. You can barely make it through a night of work. What ideas? So his big idea was hiring a publicist, which I'm certain that they did. But Schwartz does have sage advice for Sandoval. "All you should be saying is, I'm sorry." Bingo. Yeah, that's it. And of course, I know, but. This man will never learn. And we go to Sheena and Brock's and Summer Moon is so adorable. And Sheena's mom will be there with the babysitter, we find out. The babysitter is going to be there because Sheena's mom can't lift Summer Moon because she tore her rotator cuff. And Brock and Sheena fight and Brock is kind of an asshole about it. And Sheena's mom says, you know, "Brock, you need to validate Sheena's feelings." And Brock says, "She's got two of you validating her feelings right now," and says that Sheena is surrounded by yes people, which, and Sheena says she hasn't been able to be alone with Summer Moon, like herself. It's not that she hasn't been able to leave Summer Moon. It's that she hasn't been able to be alone with the baby because she's so worried that something's going to happen to her. So again, I really feel for her. This is something extremely difficult, and I hope she gets through it soon. So then Schwartz goes to visit James and Allie, and he says he's feeling a bit of a sting from losing his dream home. Again, I don't understand how these people can't afford houses. I just don't get it. I made a fraction of what they did when I lived in LA, and I had a nice house in the valley. And also, if you wanted your dream home, you should have been nicer to your wife. right? And apparently Allie started an astrology business and she reads birth charts, and she was really interested in reading Tom's birth chart because he could use a little direction. He's got a lot of Libra in his chart. She calls him a people pleaser, which he doesn't like, but that pretty aptly describes him. And Sandoval texts James in the midst of this and invites him to the birthday party. What? And all I can concentrate on is how badly Allie's computer needs to be cleaned. Like, the screen, it has so many fingerprints. It's so gross. Please clean your computer screen. And we go over to Tom and Ariana where they're unpacking like LED shot glasses. You're in your 40s, bro. Then Anne set up the whole party, of course. And James and Allie are going to the party, and James says, "I'm not trying to mend things with Tom." "Why are you going to his party, sir?" But he says he needs an apology. "I'm really sorry. What I did was awful. Absolute betrayal. I don't know if I can ever come back from this, but I'm going to try every day." Good luck with that. James says that Sandoval has to mean it. There's no way. And we flash back to him calling Sandoval a worm with a mustache, which is just one of the most beautiful moments that this show has ever given us. And Tom's not drinking, but he has mushroom chocolates. So he's California sober, I guess. And everyone who comes to this party is an employee. There's band members. There's Kyle Chan, the jeweler. There's Billy Lee, who is not mic'd. And after the birthday toast, Tom says, "I still do have friends." Yes, friends that you bought. Over at Emo Night, it's so 90s. It's amazing. And then James and Allie arrive at Sandoval's, and Allie's going to wait in the car. And Allie says, "Tell him I'm waiting in the car." So she's clearly chosen a side. And James's t-shirt looks like he was attacked by a bear on the way in. I will never understand. This makes me feel like an old person, but I don't understand the t-shirts that you buy that have just like a bunch of rips and they cost $500. But I guess that's fashion. And James says, "Tom's party is like a who's who. Like, who the fuck are you people?" Exactly. And some TomTom server named Brett, not that Brett, comes up to James and complains that Katie pushed him out and he's been meaning to talk to James. And James is like, "Who is this person?" And James and Tom go to talk. They make small talk. James feels like he lost his big brother. You know, he was expecting a text that never came. Sandoval says he was overwhelmed. And James says he's been watching him on Instagram and everything looks fine. And Tom says, "For what it's worth, I'm sorry I didn't reach out to you right away." And James interrupts him and says, "Are you sorry for betraying me?" And Tom looks confused at this and says, "Betraying you? Before I answer that question." And James is like, "No, it's a yes or no answer, bro." But Tom brings up the Kristen situation, which is that when Kristen and Tom were breaking up, James was supposed to move in with Sandoval, but then he ended up having sex with Kristen. And James says, "You're not going to talk about 10 years ago," which, good for James, okay? You can't just get out of things by bringing up the bad things that somebody did in the past that you've already moved on from. If everyone did that in their real life, no one would ever make any progress in any relationship. And Tom says it's not 10 years ago. And then we flash back and get a date on the screen that it is 10 years ago with the conversation about Kristen. And James tells him, "You've got so much growing up to do. It's sad." And if James Kennedy is telling you you need to grow up, like, holy shit. And then Tom gets petulant, because of course he does. And he says, "So you want me to take accountability, but you won't?" And James says it's embarrassing. So Tom calls James a narcissist, which, hello, pot, it's kettle, you're both narcissists. Tom feels absolutely no remorse about what he did, and then James pees in Tom's bushes, which Allie's like, "Those are also Ariana's." And then we get a to be continued and no preview for next week. So again, interested to see where the rest of the season takes us. I have been watching, you know, what's been going on kind of on social media, but I haven't been super invested. So I'm not really sure what to expect, but I look forward to the rest of what this season is going to bring. So thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 3 of the Drama Digest. I'm Amy Young, and I'll see you next time.